ever going to find on the radio.
Ballpoint, ball net, net, ball net, done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralt of the Section 10 Podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the Live BP Baseball Show.
If you hit a man with a ball, then he may run to the pillows.
With Bradford and Peralt on EEI.
Number two. Swing. There's a drive to center field. This is crushed. Back goes Mullins to the wall. And JD has a three-home run game. To dead center field over the 410-foot marker. 11-7 Red Sox. He launched it.
All right, Steve Peralt. You know who the big winner is today?
Is it you for almost guessing the 7-3? We're only one win away from you predicting that.
Stupid math. If I could only do it better, if the abacus was only working better, that is Steve Peralt. I'm Rob Bradford. The big winner today is Brookline Bank, because this hour is brought to you by Brookline Bank. It is going to be an awesome hour, Steve.
Yes. I mean, the team's incredible. This what are we going to complain about?
I think we're all winners today.
Right? I mean, big night last night for Bridget with UMass. That was huge.
I will say this. Phil Valdez, not a friend of the show. Okay.
My goodness. Okay. He's like, no, we want this to be the shortest Live BP of all time.
All right. So this is to set the scene. Live BP baseball show is Red Sox review today. And I think this is, we're going to do that a lot on the weekend. We obviously had a great show. You can go online, WEI.com, to find that, or all the podcast channels to find that show, that 2 hour show plus pregame show yesterday. And then today is a little bit different beast, because as we learned last year, people love reacting. People love the emotion. Last week at this time, as we were sitting there, Steve Peralt of Section 10 and Bleacher Report, they were 0-3. We got a flood of calls, particularly from a person named Rico, who wanted to blame Alex Cora and LeBron James.
Fairly, yeah. Those are the two guys to call out, obviously.
And however many hours are in 7 days, we sit here and they have won 6 in a row. They are 6-3. And they just beat the Orioles 14-9 in a game where, by the way, I think that we might talk about this guy a little bit. JD Martinez, the worst talent evaluation of all time by Rob Bradford in spring training, JD Martinez, because I motivated him. No question about it.
Here's the thing, Rob, and I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to get into it. I really, really, really do wonder with JD Martinez how many receipts he has kept, because there have been a lot of people in the last year, that sometimes myself included, that have been taking jabs at JD, because that I don't know who that guy was in 2020. I have no idea who he watched last year. And obviously you heard every possible excuse from JD Martinez as to why he hit .213, why he looked terrible at the plate the entire season. Understandably, it's a 60-game season, but he made every excuse you possibly could last year. And so it opened the door for us to be critical of him. He's now tearing the cover off the ball. The three-homer game, by the way, for Section 10, we called a bingo, bango, Yahtzee, in case anyone didn't know what those tweets meant. We didn't think it was going to be this early in the season, so we already have a bingo, bango, Yahtzee by JD. And he's going all that. My favorite part about this, Rob, it's to every part of the field. He is spreading the ball out wherever it's pitched. He's not trying to pull everything. He's doing what he was doing in 2018. And this is the guy that you need if you want to have a successful season and have a chance of making the postseason.
Can I just say this, though?
Yeah,
to bring
up
it back to a little bit of reality, that JD Martinez is a mortal. That when they do the laundry cart thing, I'm sorry, you know what it's called. What is it called?
Tunnel time.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a thought on that, but yeah, what do you got?
Okay, so when they do that and JD's involved, which he was three times today, at the end of it, it's like me getting out of a water tube at a water park. Okay? They literally have to have three guys run over and help him out of the laundry cart.
I'm telling you, I loved tunnel time last year because the team was so bad. It was a nice little thing in, you know, the last month of the season to be like, okay, they have this going for them. I'm not going to lie, Rob, and I can't believe I'm saying this, only whatever we are, like, what, a week plus into the season, that I'm kind of out on tunnel time just because someone's going to get hurt. Like, well, I never thought I was going to be the loser that's like, someone's going to hurt that back. But if JD Martinez has like 40 home runs, that's 40 chances that he might mess himself up in those, you know, the What is that, by the way? Is it like the jersey cart? Like, is it the laundry cart? Is that
it's a laundry cart.
Okay.
And I'll write something. Christian Arroyo explained how Kevin Plawecki and Jason Veritek get the whole thing going.
Oh, it's a cool... the story's cool, yeah.
Well,
but, like,
yeah,
this team's really good.
But,
they're hitting a lot of homers,
but
so...
you're right on the money. We're not going to just focus on tunnel time in the laundry cart.
We're doing an hour on tunnel time.
617-779-7937. I see you all loaded up, and we're going to get to you in 2 seconds. But I will say this, the last thought on tunnel time with the laundry cart, it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
That's what I get out of this. It is not sustainable. But I will say this. I do think the Red Sox, this is sustainable. Now, will they lose a game? Probably.
There's
at some point, they will lose a game.
There's a good chance.
But I proclaimed yesterday on our show, Steve, that they are the best team in the American League East. And I do believe that. I obviously have not backed off my opinion after today. JD Martinez, 3 home runs. Rafael Devers, 2 home runs. Verdugo, a home run. Pivetta, okay, good enough. Go down the list. I believe as we sit here that they, and I wrote this today, it's not a sneaky good team. It's just a good team. Do you agree?
I fully agree with the sneaky. So I know Richards last night, and we will probably talk about him a little down the road here. I think one of his first quotes in the post game was like, "Oh, I got squeezed on a couple of the pitches in the first." Garrett, you had a good outing, man. Like, we don't need any excuses when you gave up back to back bombs in the first inning. I think he's going to have to. I don't know if Chris Sale needs to pull him aside or who to let the Live VP alum know that it's okay to say you had to ease into the game a little bit. But he had mentioned in the post game that, you know, and he had said this in spring training as well, you know, I think we're a sneaky good team. I think, you know, a lot of people are paying attention to other teams. Breaking news, Garrett Richards. The Red Sox are no longer sneaky good. They have the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball. Alex Cora is back. This lineup is loaded. The starting rotation, obviously, today, Pivetta, he would have liked to not go out with that 3-run bomb there. But the rotation's been way better than we expected. The Red Sox can't be sneaky good when they have all the ingredients to win the AL East now. Now, obviously, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I agree with you. They are the best team right now in the American League East. And forget the record. From what you've seen,
right,
they're the best team. Because the record right now doesn't really matter.
Right. The Orioles stink. We know they stink. But the Rays, I watch them against the Rays. They are a better team than the Rays.
Yeah.
I see what's happening with New York. Like, listen, they'll figure it out in some way, somehow, probably. But they're just sort of a discombobulated group.
They don't really – I don't know what the Yankees' identity is. I don't really – like, tell me what they're really good at outside of Gerrit Cole.
Well, they could pretend, they have Gerrit Cole, and then they'll figure it out from there. But
if you're a Yankee fan, that's garbage. Right.
Like, well, again, if
we'll figure it out. My goodness.
If Nate maybe can do a social media post for them for bumper sticker,
figure it out.
2021 New York Yankees.
Maybe we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. But before we go to the calls, I do want to read this quote from Cora last night. And he said, "It's a good vibe. We've got a bunch of good baseball players. That's the way I see it. I know a lot of people don't feel like we've got superstars, but I like my bunch. It's a good baseball team," right? Okay.
I disagree with it, by the way.
Right. I would say this, is that the superstar thing, you do have superstars.
Absolutely. You have 4 in the lineup.
Right. I mean, and so I don't know where he's hearing that. I don't know. Maybe that's sort of like, hey, we're the gritty, gutty underdogs. But we all knew how this team was supposed to be built. You have the foundational guys, and those are the most important guys. You had to have them produce. JD Martinez, Rafael Devers, Xander Bogaerts, right? Correct?
Yeah. I'm just saying, when I heard that quote, my first thought was, now hold up now. And obviously, I support AC, and I think he handles the post-game pressers very well. But with these guys performing at the highest of their abilities, and Verdugo's coming there. Verdugo's, the exit velo with Verdugo is up there. I think the hits are finally coming. He was hitting ropes, rate 2 guys. The average is going to climb for him. At their peak, you have 4 stars in the lineup with JD, Devers, Bogaerts, and Verdugo. And I think he knows that, but I think Alex also does a great job of taking any of that pressure off of these guys, not to, you know, label them superstars. If anything, I think it's better to have that mentality of, you know, we have the underdog role, if you will, a little bit.
Listen, the Patriots lived off it on the
way. I mean, Rodney Harrison was being like, no one believed in us. They were 14-2. It's like,
right, exactly. Yeah. A trillion Super Bowls. So 617-779-7937. One of the questions I would like to talk to all the great callers, because we only have great callers on the show.
Lines are loaded right now, looking great.
And Steve Peralt will be picking out the best caller of the hour
in
the show.
Yes.
I do want to just the simple, hey, listen, is this what they are? Do you believe that this team is a really good team, or is it a product of just getting a little hot, the Baltimore Orioles, and now you're going to go into Minnesota and be swamped? What is the reality with this baseball team, Steve?
I think they're going to have one of the best lineups in baseball. That's what we were saying before the season started. I wasn't surprised with the slow start against Baltimore. That, again, you can take our quotes from last weekend. I don't think we said anything that was too outlandish. I think one of my main points was, if anything, if you want to look at it optimistically, the rotation is the thing that surprised you against the Orioles in that first series. The lineup is what wasn't there yet. Finally, they're coming around. In the six-game winning streak, they've averaged 9 runs a game, hitting .332, 10-plus hits in every game this week. That's insane. Now, Rob, that's not going to – they're not going to keep doing that.
No, but
this is going to be one of the best lineups in baseball, unless guys get hurt.
And if we do the whole spring training thing, what's important, what's not, I mean, that's one of the if we want to go down that road, they were the best offensive team in spring training. And by the way, normally you don't see a team in the Grapefruit League at the top of all the statistics.
Especially a league like that, especially a well-respected league like the Grapefruit League.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Listen, it's the iron of spring training when you have to go to Port Charlotte and Port whatever and Port this and Port that. Anyway, let's go to the calls.
Let's do it.
Always leading the Live PP show off, Jeff in Watertown. Jeff, it's a pleasure and an honor to be talking to you two straight days.
Well, same here, guys. And first of all, you know, Rob, my description of this is this team has herd immunity against being lousy. Like, there's just like too many good players. I mean, that's what we
get
learned.
That on a bumper sticker, Nate.
Herd
immunity against lousy.
And so, you know, so there are gaps. You know, so whether they're going to be gaps and guys aren't, you know, not everybody's going to, you know, hit the way they're hitting, and everybody's going to pitch the way they're pitching. But they're so, you know, they're good enough that you can tinker with them, and you know, they're going to be up there. They're going to be competitive. You can make a deal during the year. I mean, they're in a great position. And the thing today, what really impressed me, and it was little things, but it impressed me that Cora kept Pivetta in to get through the sixth when he could have easily pulled him. He wanted to get, I forget what it was, 100 pitches or 90 pitches, whatever it was. He was getting close. He kept him in. I liked that. He gave up the 3-run homer, but he kept him in, get him through the sixth. Valdez at the end, you know, God knows he, you know, killed your show. He took about 45 minutes off the show. And he had to get Barnes up, which was a shame. But he stuck with, you know, I feel like, one of the things I've always liked about Alex Cora is he does have the long view. Like, he just have the sense that he is thinking, you know, 2-3 steps ahead. And today, like, just, you know, the little things like that just really impressed me.
Jeff, on that point specifically, wouldn't you have wanted him? Like, Pivetta seemed to have done his job, and Cora hasn't kept guys in that long. I don't think the last, if I'm not mistaken, I think the last Red Sox starter to go over 100 pitches was Erod when he was going for 20 wins in 2019. Right. So, from that perspective, don't you think it would have made more sense? And again, we're going to nitpick because we have to. They've won 6 in a row and they've blown out these teams. But wouldn't you think it have made more sense to have pulled them there?
Well, I would have, but I was glad he didn't. I think a lot of managers would have, but I feel like he had enough confidence that he wanted, you know, he had an idea in his mind. And the other thing is, like, I think we forget that when you have a 10-run lead, you can pitch differently. You know, I think Jack Morris really suffered from that in his career. He was the best pitcher in the 80s. I mean, he was dominant. But you know, he knew how to pitch. And so if he had a 10-run lead, maybe he'd give up 4 runs in the 7th.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter because he knew what he was doing, you know. And that's how I kind of felt like today. I just felt like, I would not have complained if he pulled him. I thought that was great. He's protecting him. But it also says something to me that he had the confidence to say, hey, I have you penciled in for 6. Get the 6.
If you weren't concerned about the 3-run homer there for Pivetta, what is one thing you're actually concerned about right now with the Red Sox? Because it's going to be hard to find him right now.
You know what?
Valdez taking away 45
minutes.
Minus
the Valdez thing, Jeff.
I'm worried about?
I'm worried about Ethan Evaldi maybe getting hurt. You know, because this team can't, they still can't afford to have too many things to go wrong. I mean, unless it's July and they're in a good position, they can make a deal or something. So, you know, to me, I just hold my breath every time he pitches. But But, yeah. You know, other than that, I mean, you know, the bullpen, I'm sure that some of these guys are going to come down to earth, maybe, you know. But right now, there's not a whole lot that I'm worried about, because the guys who are supposed to be doing it are doing it.
Jeff,
these guys are track records.
Hey, I fully agree with you, and thanks for the call, Jeff. As always, leading off the Live BP show, what are your thoughts, Rob, on our favorite caller, Jeff's
opinion? Look at this. You break down the interviews, and I break down the callers.
Exactly.
No, I mean, I don't disagree with him. If you look at the starters right now, best case scenario, you have a bunch of number three starters. I mean,
yeah,
that's what
no,
you
it's
have.
True. And
that's not true. I mean, you could obviously say Nathan Eovaldi's a top of the rotation guy, but still,
I'm saying over the course of a season, I don't.
What we have to go to the back of the baseball card and say it's okay. It's okay that you have these guys, because if you have a Martin Perez or a Nick Pivetta or a Garrett Richards be good enough to be a number three starter, that is okay. Now that is where we get into the whole conversation about, you know, what is wrong with this team or how this team can actually take it to the next level. And really, you know, a big part of that, which I feel uncomfortable even mentioning, is Chris Sale.
I know that's something that obviously is going to come up over the course of the season. I don't think he's going to be back anytime before August, but that's going to be a huge factor here. You saying that there's a bunch of three starters, I don't know if Perez is necessarily there, but the concept does ring true, because if you go down the rotation, yes, Nathan Eovaldi coming off of his YouTube Player of the Week, which if you asked him, that has to be the most important thing he's ever won.
Where do you think that trophy is right now?
Oh, it's got to be like right when you walk into his house. It's probably the first thing you see, and I'm sure the missus loves that.
I strongly disagree.
No, I guarantee you. I don't even need to know.
I believe it's in Phillips Valdez's lock.
Yeah, be like, here you go, buddy. This is what you should strive for, because it just took forever. But no, Eovaldi's going to come down to earth. You know, Perez is what he is. Perez Day obviously is an enormous deal. I know you love it. And Pivetta today, I mean, I disagree with Jeff. I thought he should have been out. I wouldn't have wanted him back out there again. I don't see any real need for him to throw 90 plus 100 pitches when you're up by whatever it was, 7 or even more.
101 pitches.
Yeah, so I don't see...
Otherwise known as 101 pitches.
Yeah, 101. Yes. I don't think that was necessary, but James has been on the line for a long time.
Yeah,
Dorchester.
James, what's going on?
James, how you doing?
Yeah, hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
I think as great as the Sox have played and looked in the first nine games of the season, I think the most positive development is the rest of the division. I mean, Tampa Bay, that lineup blows. And they're a team that's known for their arms, but they lost a ton in the offseason, and it's showing. You know, they don't have the same arms that they had last year. And then New York is a mess, and I think even before they were playing poorly, you could see on paper they just had a ton of question marks pitching wise, and it's starting to show as well. And Baltimore sucks. So I think, you know, obviously it's very early, and I think that's what people are kind of being apprehensive about as far as how hot the Sox are. But if you just look at the rest of the division, I think we're going to hang around just on the basis of the flaws of everybody else. I mean, those flaws I mentioned, I don't think those are going away. I think those are huge flaws in the rest of the division, and I think that'll give us a chance throughout the whole year.
James, thanks for the call. Very much appreciate it. You were hanging on there for a while. Rob, your thoughts on the AL East and what it looks like this early?
I already said I told you that.
No, I'm saying based off of that call, like, do you really think that this is going to stay the same the rest
you
of
mean
the season?
You mean the call that supported my theory that they're best?
He should have said it, right? He should have said, Rob, what you said
Rob,
was so accurate and perfect.
I agree with you. But it's true. As we look at these teams now, as we look at how they're constructed, and I know that Toronto made the big push, but George Springer is got some ouchies and some oochies, and oh my goodness, I can't play with this. And
is that what it, is that what it said on the report? Ouchies and oochies.
Might as well. I mean, really. And by the way, we are great apologies to everybody who was listening to the end of the pregame show when we basically thought that JD Martinez was out for the season. That's me. I mean, that's on me.
No, I'm going to take a second on that one, because the Red Sox official announcement there is what I was going off of. And maybe I should have done a little more research in terms of like how they announced the COVID injured list guys, but they very much presented that as if that was going to be a major problem and like JD was going to miss significant time.
Well,
so I don't think that's on us.
No, you know, I think that, but in fairness, it could go the other way. There's so much room for interpretation when it comes out like that. And all we know is this, is that he was put back in the lineup, or he was put in the lineup about an hour before the game. And all of a sudden, you have this unbelievable game. And in case you don't know, here are the stats. I want to pull up some of the stats for JD Martinez. He is, I don't know if this is good, but his OPS is 1.583. He's hitting .472. He has 5 home runs. And most importantly, Steve, you go back to the quote that he gave me on March 22nd, which I will keep retweeting every week, which was,
it's a good quote.
He said, I just want expletive to go back to normal, honestly. I just want it to be a normal season. I'm kind of tired of being judged on 2 months. And like you said, I think all of us were like, ah, you said you had asthma. Oh, you were fishing. Oh, you were doing this. You were doing that video. And I believe it when I see it. But hey, listen, yesterday was mea culpa Saturday. Today is mea culpa Sunday. I mean, even more so when it comes to JD Martinez.
JD Martinez, and this is obviously going to stay true throughout the course of the season, on pace for 90 home runs, 288 RBIs, and 306 hits. So take the over on all of those if you're a betting man. And it's incredible. What he's doing is incredible. I was about to get my Starbucks, Rob, right before I come in here. I always have to get my iced tea lemonade. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, no, JD's up. I can't miss this. And sure enough, the next pitch, a bomb to center field. He is cannot miss television right now. And if you're a Red Sox fan, you have to be ecstatic about this. It's the top thing we talked about heading into this season.
It was.
Is one way or another with JD, we're going to have, you know, strong opinions. And he has made it very clear that this is kind of his FU season. Let's be honest. Like, he's very much treating this like, y'all were talking trash. Y'all got your shots in last year and in the offseason and during spring training. I'm ready to prove you wrong. I'm glad he's doing it.
I mean, I'm kind of tired of being judged on 2 months. There you go. There is the
again,
true
those
serum
quotes,
right
if,
there.
If you stink this year, those quotes mean nothing.
Right.
But if he goes out and does what he does right now, again, he's got a 1,500 OPS. He's slugging over 1,000. I mean, these numbers are ridiculous. He already has 16 RBIs. The season started like a week ago. So what JD is doing is ridiculous right now. Obviously, it's going to be hard to keep up this pace. But if he's the core, if he's the guy in the lineup, that changes the entire lineup. Because the Red Sox, I think, still could have had a good season if JD was average. But now this changes the expectations. And I know it's early, but this changes the expectations and the ceiling for this team. If JD Martinez is great. So,
all right, we see you all lined up, but we're going to take a quick break. 617-779-7937. It is a very, very passionate time in the world of Boston baseball. Last week, it was for a completely different reason. This week, you know, it's the ebbs and flows. The ebbs and flows, Steve.
I know. My goodness. But I like the view. I like this view better than last.
Yes. You traded the view of Fenway Park for
the view of the standings.
Of the Live BP studio with good standings. All right. But first, we get a trend.
For nearly 30 years, the home of the Boston sports fan. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right. Thanks to Philip Valdez, this is going to be the shortest trending in the history of trending. This is what's trending on WEI and WEI.com. The Red Sox won 14-9 over the Orioles. JD Martinez hit 3 home runs. Rafael Devers hit 2. Verdugo hit 1. But most importantly, Bridget, what is the most important news of the day?
The most important news out of all of this, besides the Red Sox, is that UMass Hockey won the national title last night.
They won the national title!
And I'm not hungover, you guys. I'm good.
How did
though
you
everyone
celebrate?
I'm pretty sure UMass is on fire right now.
This has
now,
to be one of the most hungover days in UMass history, and that's saying something.
I mean, there was explosives and fireworks
that's saying something
going
for that campus.
Yeah, no, that's every Saturday night, though. So. Yeah,
well, congratulations to all the people affiliated with UMass. It is sincerely a great, great story. Steve Buckley wrote a great column on it today in The Athletic about, you know, basically they didn't have a rink to practice at not too long ago. So congratulations, Bridget, to you and your alumnus
and
alumni, or what do you call it. And that is what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ball point, ball net, net, ball net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a baller to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEI.
Here's the pitch, and he swings and drives one right center field. Has he done it again? He has. Deep into the bleachers, Rafi Devers with his 4th home run of the series, his 2nd home run of the day, and now it's comfortable 13-7 Red Sox.
All right, it is a live BP show. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Steve Perrault of Section 10 Podcast and Bleacher Report. Steve, we got to get right to the call.
Yes.
All right, you ready?
Yes,
all right,
let's do it.
All right, Mike in Boston. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, guys?
Hey Mike.
I think, you know, obviously great win today. Great first nine games of the season. But I think the most overlooked thing I don't see a ton of people talking about right now is Chaim Bloom has put together quite the team for us, and I feel very comfortable going forward having him be the head of baseball operations. I mean, if you look at the moves that he's made so far, every single one is panning out right now. I mean, he found – I don't know how he found Garrett Whitlock in the Rule 5 draft. That kid is nasty.
Well, you can read about it on WEI.com. Thank you. Do you want the story? So, but you're correct, Mike. I mean, the fact is that Chaim Bloom, when I was doing the Garrett Whitlock story of how they found him, I was talking to somebody and saying, listen, you guys haven't really made a lot of bad trades, right? Am I wrong?
No, they look good. They've looked good. I mean, the Whitlock one is the one that we've talked about the most because of the madness of a Rule 5 guy doing this much this fast. I think people need to acknowledge that aspect of it, that this is not normal for a guy, a Rule 5 guy, to come in and make a huge impact right out of the gate. And he's doing it with two pitches. He's making guys look foolish. So that was a huge deal. I mean, Pivetta, obviously, I didn't want him to go out there again. But the Pivetta trade, obviously, the Red Sox won that one. So, Mike, to your point, he has – and Chaim, it's Chaim, not Shame. But he has made a lot of impressive moves so far. And they haven't been huge headline moves. I think a lot of fans wanted the big, you know, sign Springer, go after Bauer. He was never going to do that. So it's not fair to grade him off of those things. It's fair to grade him off of the trades that he's made, and they've worked out well so far. But and Mike, thanks for the call. Obviously, my favorite thing of all time to do is thanks for the call.
And so, and I should note, you know, when you're looking at moves like that, for instance, the Garrett Whitlock story, which is the Rule 5 guy, and he's right. I mean, you just don't get basically a top pitching prospect who is going to contribute right away in the Rule 5 draft, which is exactly what he's become. But you have to give credit to the guys who are already there, guys that you would have no idea who they are, Harrison Slutsky and Gus Quattlebaum and some of these other guys in the analytics department. I mean, they deserve a tremendous amount of credit because they're the ones who are basically saying, that's the guy we should go after in the Rule 5 draft. But I will say this, the trades, Chaim Bloom, absolutely. Absolutely.
And even if I know a lot of fans are going to want to rip the Mookie deal, but I loved getting Verdugo the second they got him. And he's going to be a big part of this lineup as we go, you know, along in this season. So you can't overlook that factor as well. We have Sean in Colorado. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, Sean.
Good. So I think Boston Police Department needs to open up an investigation into the kidnapping and identity theft of JD last year. Because that obviously wasn't him. But regardless, it's great to have him back. And do you guys think that, you know, him being back and having his confidence, swagger, and mojo is going to rub off and help the guys with likes of Dahlbeck and Franchi?
Yeah, Sean, thanks for the call. The biggest thing that we haven't talked about with JD yet is that last year, when he obviously in 2018 was basically the hitting coach of the Red Sox, he was the guy that was going through all the tape, looking at everybody's swing, adjusting, giving little, you know, tips and pointers on adjustments here and there. Now, I don't think that plays, Rob, in 2020 when you hit 213, you're looking at strike three all the time. He had that, you know, shaking his head, going back to the dugout. Now, if you have this JD Martinez, this version of JD in the middle of this lineup, that's a huge factor because now everybody's going to be like, what are you seeing? What are you seeing in my swing? Let's set the iPad up in batting practice for what I'm doing and try to tweak it here and there. So you can go right back to that 2018 formula, and it should, in theory, help these guys out and give him the confidence, JD, to know that he's backing it up on the field so that it makes more sense for him to be the guy that's doing the pointers. You couldn't really do it last year.
Well, you're absolutely right, but I would say this about the 2018 hitting coach thing. I think that it's just like with the launch angle stuff. Some guys want to do it and some guys don't. Some guys want JD to be their hitting coach and some guys don't.
Yeah.
But your overall point that you don't really have the option of being that voice for anybody if you're hitting 210 is absolutely right. And it's not only – there's other examples of this. I remember back in when Mike Napoli was on the team and said he's supposed to be a leader of the team 2013, 2014, but then he went really, really bad. And he said, like, listen, how am I supposed to be a leader on this team when I'm not supposed to be hitting 200 with no home runs. Who wants to listen to that?
And that
matters. How am I supposed to tell anybody?
That matters to these guys. I think what you're doing on the field can give you that extra confidence, then be like, all right, guys, get on my back. Let's do this. And J.D. Martinez is taking that role right now. He's very clearly the face of the Red Sox right now. I know we had that discussion before with Xander Bogaerts and other guys. But J.D. Martinez is becoming the guy on the team. And that's – would you argue, Rob, that that's the first time in his Red Sox career that he is the guy on the team?
You know why? Yeah, because of Mookie.
No, but I'm just saying, like, he's still – J.D. would have probably won MVP if Mookie didn't exist in
2018. Yeah, the weird thing is that I might take issue with that. Is that I still think Alex Cora is the face of the Red Sox.
Yeah, I'm just saying players-wise. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Okay. I know what you're saying.
That's true.
Yeah.
Will Venable, close second. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fair. We have Hires, Will. We have Will in Kingston, who's been waiting patiently. Will, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking my call, guys. This is a good segue right there. So I'm loving this offense. I don't think it's an overreaction at all. I believe that this team all year will hit 1-9. Showing some glimpses of 2018, to be honest. But I want to just talk about quickly is what some people aren't really talking about much is Franchy Cordero. I think he's on a 6-game hitting streak right now. We haven't even seen him really take off with the power. So I just want to see like what you guys think of that. Thanks for taking my call again.
Yeah, Will, appreciate the call. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Will.
Well,
I was going to say, I can't just like change the phrase. Thanks for the call, Will. Very much appreciate it.
A tip of the chapeau to you for the call.
That should be our go-to every time, yeah.
So Franchy was interesting. Obviously, he came in, not right now, he's hitting .333, went 1-for-4 today. But you look at his 6 hits coming to today, 4 of them were to the opposite field. But he also was, like, I think, in like the 95th percentile in terms of hard hit balls.
Yeah.
And that combination, Steve, of the guy who idolized J.D. Drew actually hitting it like J.D. Drew, of going the other way at Fenway Park like he has been, and then hitting it as hard as he has, that's all you want from that guy, right?
Yeah, I almost forgot about the J.D. Drew thing, honestly. That was one of my favorites, one of my sneaky favorites. I know that's a key phrase with this Red Sox team. One of my sneaky favorite storylines was the fact that Franchy looked up to J.D. Drew, and nothing against J.D. Drew. I just did not expect that at all.
Well, he said, he explained in what, because he was one of the big three sit downs that I had, and that was the first question I asked. I had to ask him that.
Naturally, and we all knew he was going to say J.D. Drew.
Not that answer. This was like, this is forwarding the story. This is advancing the story.
Yes.
So I said, I want to talk to you, Franchy Cordero, for the sole reason that you told the group, you said you like J.D. Drew. How does that ever happen? And he said that it was because the game looked like it came so easy to him, which I found interesting because a guy like Franchy Cordero, isn't that what we say about him? Like, the guy is exactly how you would build a baseball player / tight end.
He has the skills. I'm glad that he's, you know, found a little bit of a rhythm here, because what that first appearance, my goodness, when he struck out there in the ninth inning in that first series, I believe it was the second game of the year. He looked terrible. He got a 3-1 count and then struck out, looked awful. So obviously this is good to see with Franchy, but someone we haven't really talked about, Rob, along with Franchy, is Bobby Dalbec. So the Red Sox have one of the best lineups in baseball, and Bobby Dalbec hasn't really gotten going yet. Now, he stung one, almost got out, went off the wall today. He beats out the what would have been game-ending double play last night. Red Sox go on to win. So he's doing the little things. Fielding-wise, he's been great. He's, you know, picking up guys in the infield, as Devers has actually kind of figured it out since our last show. You know, I'm putting the quotes up when I say figured it out. But that's another aspect of this. When you're going to look at the Red Sox over the course of 162, yes, everything looks incredible right now. J.D. Martinez is front runner for the MVP. Kike's heating up. Bogaerts looks good. Devers had a home run for the third straight game. So everybody in theory that you want to be hitting is hitting. Verdugo goes deep. Guys are going to find slumps, and that's when you're going to need a Bobby Dalbec to start taking off. That's when Franchy's going to have to start picking up some of the slack. So that's another huge aspect of this whole, you know, where do the Red Sox land in best offense in baseball? Some of the guys that they expect to have big pop haven't really done too much yet, especially Dalbec, because Franchy has had his spots. Not a lot of huge hits, but he's spreading them around. Bobby, I'm waiting to see what happens there. I'm really waiting to see if Bobby's about to take off, because he's making much better contact. He had told me, and I hate doing the whole he told me thing, but he said
I've done it 5 times this hour.
I don't like doing it, but like he said, the last couple of games he felt like he did in spring training. So he's got that going for him, which is good. We'll see if that picks up in Minnesota, which, by the way, Rob, random thing I got for you. Have you ever seen a four-game Red Sox series where they all start at like 1 or 2 p.m.? Kind of crazy, right? The next four games are afternoon
games. But you know
games.
Why that is, right?
Am I missing something?
From what I understand, it's because the trial is going on in Minneapolis.
Then I'm missing something. That's what happens when I only do baseball and I know nothing else. That's what happens. So
I mean,
that's clearly
what has been surfaced. That's what I've heard.
Okay. Makes perfect sense.
We got a couple more calls here. Let's go to one of them. Okay, Tim and Canton.
Tim, what's up?
Tim Canton, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How you doing, Tim?
Good. So, yeah, watching the Red Sox lately, I'm reminded of the immortal words of Lisa Simpson in the Whacking Day episode when she decides not to expose the lie of Jebediah Springfield and its revolutionary origins of that day. They're great. They're really great.
I thought for sure, Tim, that you were going to use the such educational films as Paint Chips, Delicious But Deadly, but that's a good one, too.
Or Cheeseburgers Are a Dangerous, Dangerous Mix. No, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
That'll do it. But Tim, you're liking what you're seeing, is what you're saying.
They're great. They're really great.
Tim, thank you for the call. Thank you. Here's the thing, Rob, and I'm getting more used to the callers here at WEEI as we're doing the live BP show, Red Sox post game show here on WEEI, taking you up to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's funny when you expect – I feel like I expect too much from some of the callers sometimes where you think they have like a second thought. It's like, no, I called up and I waited for 30 minutes to say the Red Sox are great after they've won their sixth straight game. Sometimes it's as simple as that, right?
I think that all callers bring their own unique identity.
Yes.
But I would love for Tim call back because the combination of the Simpsons reference and then just saying they're great. They're just great.
He rolled off so smoothly. There were so many words there where I'm like, he's going to stumble at some point. He didn't. That was impressive.
We got to take a quick break. Then we'll get back to the calls for the last segment, 617-779-7937. We have a MLB game coming up on after us. I believe that is the Braves and Phillies.
Braves-Phillies. Fun matchup tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
Fun matchup.
It's so good. Yeah. So good. Yeah. Fun matchup.
You're definitely not being sarcastic at all. No, that is a fun matchup. What are you talking about?
Listen, I mean, let's be honest, Steve. Let's be honest. I want to keep talking about this stuff. We've talked about it.
And Bridget knows it. Anytime Rob gives you a, oh my goodness, you know he is full of sarcasm. Full to the brim.
All right. Well, I'll have another segment of sarcasm / intense passion. 617-779-7937. Be back right after this.
Now back on the Live BP Baseball Show with Brad Bowen and Steve on WEEI.
Our day's the Live BP Baseball Show. Last segment heading into MLB Baseball. Not the Red Sox, but the Phillies and the Braves. Red Sox win. Big win today, 14-9. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Steve Peralt of the Section 10 podcast and Bleacher Report. Steve, let's go right to the calls again because people are fired up.
Let's do it. David in Maryland, you hate the new extra innings rule?
Yeah, I do. It's not just because I'm an Oriole fan either. Don't get me wrong. You know, I think it's stupid either way or the other. Because, I mean, why are they going to put a runner, regardless of whether it's the Red Sox or the Orioles, why are they going to put a runner at second base in extra innings when the guy didn't even deserve it? I mean, I don't care if it's an Oriole out there or a Red Sox out there. What is the purpose of that? I guess to speed the game up, I guess, but it's still stupid. Now, they should have to earn their way on or earn their victories. I mean, if you earn it the rightful way, it's different, but you're going to put a runner at second base, supposedly just to speed the game up, sometimes it could slow it down, you know, actually.
David, I want to chime in here. Soccer, hockey, football, okay, all of them have similar dynamics, correct?
Well, that's true, but I don't mean baseball has to follow suit. I mean,
well, actually, they do.
They kind of have to. They got to
because if you don't change things, David, and listen, I love the great game of baseball like you do, but we've reached the point where we do have to make subtle changes, and I'm not going to change your mind, but I'll just say what I said yesterday, which is urgency and strategy. That's what the game needs more of, and that's what this new rule delivers.
And I'm like I told you, I'm not just saying it just because I'm an Orioles fan and we didn't have no opportunity to win. That's what I'm saying. If the Orioles would have been in the same situation, they had an opportunity to win, I'd still be against it. I mean, I think it's just stupid. You know, they need to go back to where they the traditions of baseball. They need to get the stadiums packed again. I'm just a traditionalist. I don't believe in all these new rules they got. But they started all last year with the coronavirus, and I'm totally against it. And down Texas, at least the Texas teams down there are being smart about it. I think they're up in full capacity for the Houston Astros and the Texas Rangers. They're in full capacity now. And it seems like a lot of these other states, including your state and our state down here in Maryland, they don't want to open full capacity. I'm very, very disappointed. I mean, but the governor of Texas, he is doing a good job because I think pretty much they're full capacity, everything done, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they are. David, thanks for the call. I don't know how that became a full capacity.
That should be a thanks for the call?
Thanks for the call? I'm not sure how that turned into the capacity of the stands. That has absolutely nothing to do with extra innings. But, yeah, Rob, I'm not going to lie, and I know we've talked about this before, but with the extra innings rule, I know a lot of people say rules. I'm pretty sure it's just one rule. Guys at second base to start each half inning. That's the only rule. I have really grown to love it, and it's not necessarily because the Red Sox have won each time they've played in the extra innings scenarios this season. I just think I'm not going to give you the generic, like, they need to speed the game up. I think this makes sense. They should be doing more things to speed the game up. I just like this rule. It's not because of your boring, normal, baseball is too old and they're losing track of all. No, it's because I just like, it makes sense. It makes sense, and it doesn't make it that weird a product. I think the pitchers hate it. I'm glad we got to talk to Pat Light about it yesterday. He was very honest that he wouldn't love it. I think a lot of pitchers that he's either talked to or played with, Matty Backpacks being one of them, might not love it, but it's not going anywhere. I mean, that's one thing, right, Rob? If you're going to have a new rule to speed the game up, very clearly it's not like they're going to go back to, hey, actually, we're going to go to the slower version instead. They're not going back now, so people just got to get used to it, especially you, David, in Maryland.
Well, and not to do the thing that we both hate to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. You talked to Bobby Dalbec, and this morning we might have had Matt Andrees on the show yesterday. He couldn't do it, but he did give a ring this morning, and I talked to him about that. Obviously, he was the one that got the save. And he actually pointed out last year Joe Maddon used him, I think it was for like three straight innings of having a runner at second. So he's like, when I went in last night, I understood that dynamic. And this is juxtaposed off what Pat Light said, which is Matt Andrees knows the deal now. He knows the deal. He's gone through it a few times. He knows the mindset. He knows what you have to do. And I think this falls under a lot of things that players complain about initially, which is you get used to it and then you understand, it's not that all that bad.
It really isn't that bad. Like, that's the thing. Again, like, I didn't get used to it last year because the team stunk. And if anything, I wanted the games to end quicker. Now that they have a competitive team, best record in the American League East, one of the best lineups in baseball, now that we're at this position, I like the edge of the seat vibe, Rob, and I feel like it's similar in hockey. I know you mentioned the NHL. I don't care much about sticky puck, but when it's overtime, I tune in because one less skater on the ice, it's fast, the game speeds up. Two less skaters. Even
three on three.
Very clearly, I don't know sticky puck, Bridget.
They should have one on one.
Here I am thinking it's 4-on-4. But yeah, 3-on-3, even better. So you have less people on the ice, and it speeds the game up. And I mean, immediately, you basically have like a fast break immediately. A fast break in hockey, is that a thing, Bridget? An odd man rush. That's what Marchand's really good at. He's good at the shorties. He's good at the shorthanded goals. So I know one hockey thing. But I think it's very necessary for baseball, not just the typical, like, they need to speed the game up. No, it's very necessary to have rules that make sense, that are entertaining, that also, hey, this speeds the game up. This is pretty good. So I think it's a win-win-win, and understandable that the pitchers hate it. Like, Papelbon actually had a great, did you see that? Papelbon's reaction when TC asked him, he was just like, yeah, no, I would. He was like, because it's so funny because TC pitched it kind of knowing what answer he was going to get, but he set it up well. And Pat's just like, yeah, no, there's no chance
I know they asked about time of game, and I immediately remembered Papelbon saying this back in like 2007 or something. Said, listen, you don't mind a 4-hour movie if it's a good movie. And I'm thinking, yeah, you kind of do mind a 4-hour movie.
Yeah, I don't love 4-hour movies. I'd way rather two.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Well, but I think we solved a lot of problems in the last couple of days, Steve, don't you?
I think we did. Yeah, my question to you, Rob, J.D. Martinez, he is one of four players in baseball history now that has started off their season with 8 straight games with an extra base hit, joins Griffey, A-Rod, and Phil Nevin. No one has ever done it 9 games in a row. Does J.D. do it tomorrow?
Yes. because you can't stop J.D. Martinez. He's clearly motivated by all that time that we're screaming. He can't hit the outside pitch in spring training.
The clear MVP favorite, and obviously they vote on MVP based off the first nine games of the season.
Listen, if you're going to have one guy do well in the first nine games,
it was
him.
We were saying that if it was going to be one guy that takes off, you wanted it to be JD. So Red Sox fans, lucky that it is JD.
All right, thanks to Bridget Brew. Thanks to, once again, Steve Peralt. Another great job for the last couple days. I'm Rob Bradford. Big, brave Phillies games. We're going to be back. I don't know when. Are we going to be back next week?
Yeah, I believe Saturday or Sunday. We'll let you know on the Twitter.
All right.
We got over 1,000, by the way. We finally got over 1,000
Live
followers.
BP Twitter account, Live BP Instagram account. You won't be disappointed. Brave Phillies right now. See you later.